Last Sunday, we looked at a topic that is important to all of us, something that we've all dealt with, and that is the power of addictions. And we looked at how addictions literally sentence us to servitude. In other words, we become slaves. We've seen Paul's admonition to Titus several times, how the people in Crete, which was known for its evil, how they would need to exercise self-control if they were going to thrive in their Christian faith. I mean, there isn't many places in the world that would have been as difficult for a new Christian as in Crete. And so Paul wrote to them and he encouraged them to remain faithful, to exercise self-control. And several times he repeated that. And you might remember at the end of the message last week, we looked at a quote from Richard Foster. And I just wanted to bring that up again this morning as we begin from there. And this is what Richard Foster said in his book, Celebration of Discipline. He said, "Our ordinary method of dealing with ingrained sin is to launch a frontal attack. We rely on our willpower and determination. Whatever may be the issue for us, anger, fear, bitterness, gluttony, pride, lust, substance abuse, we determine never to do it again. We pray against it. We fight against it. We set our will against it. But the struggle is all in vain, and we find ourselves once again morally bankrupt." That doesn't sound very encouraging, Norman. What are you doing? But it's the reality. It's the reality because our hope in victory isn't within ourselves. Our hope is in God. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26. I want to read that for us this morning. Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. I concluded the message last week with verse 16 and 17, and I want to read through that passage and give us the full context of it. So this is what Paul says to the church. He says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, and orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. The problem is neatly summarized there in verse 17. This is why we struggle. He says, the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so you don't do what you want. Can anyone relate to that? I think we all can. Of course we can. Who hasn't had that struggle? We have. On the one hand, you have a genuine desire to serve the Lord. You do. Or else you probably wouldn't be here this morning. You want to do what is right. You want to learn and grow as a Christian. You want to be strong in the Lord. You want to please God. You want to walk the straight and narrow path. You want to fellowship with other Christians. You want to take the time to read the scriptures and to pray and resist temptation and have victory over sin. We all have these good intentions. And we've determined to fight and win the battle. And at least for a while, it seems like we can. But as the quote from Richard Foster pointed out, in the end, our struggle becomes in vain. Why? Here's the reason. Because the sinful nature does not bend to our will. It bends to the Spirit of God. When we confess our sins, when we repent of our sins and believe in Jesus for our salvation, our sins are forgiven. We become children of God. But the sinful nature is still at war within us. And all the self-help in the world won't help us defeat the sinful nature. We cannot defeat the sinful nature as an act of our will alone. No matter how hard you try, there's this conflict between the desire to serve the Lord and the desires of the sinful nature. The sinful nature produces one kind of desires. We know those all too well. The Spirit produces another kind of desire. And verse 17 makes it clear that these two are in conflict with one another. In other words, they don't go along. You can't have them both together. You know, you can't mix oil and water. You can't mix the flesh with the Spirit. They just don't go. It's not just that they are warring with one another. They are incompatible with one another. They can't fit together. And yet, if the truth be known, we try to make them work together. I mean, we want the Spirit of God, but we're not exactly quite sure if we want to really give up the desires of the flesh either. And I think, honestly, that one of the greatest dangers, if not the greatest danger, that we face as the church today is the temptation to try. We can't do it successfully, but to try to walk with one foot in God's kingdom and one foot in the world. And of course, who wants to be radical? Who wants to be strange? Who wants to be extreme? You know, and so to go God's way seems radical and extreme, especially today. And so we love God. And we come to church, we support the church, we do our part. But you know what's wrong with a little bit of fun on the side? After all, nobody is perfect, right? Nobody's perfect. You know, when I went to high school, man, if I scored 90%, which I only did in one subject, by the way, and that was typing. I don't know. That was cool. If I scored 90%, I mean, I was ecstatic. I mean, that was awesome. If I passed, that was awesome, you know. And somehow I think we get to the place in our lives that if we think, well, we're giving God 90%, that's awesome, right? Woo, 90% with God, yes. And so we congratulate ourselves, and we might walk, you know, 90% in the Spirit, which maybe it's only 50 or 55% if we're honest, I don't know, and the other rest in the world, and we think that we're doing okay because, you know, we're still toeing the line. One foot is dragging a little bit, but we're still coming along. And so we give in to the desires of the flesh, or we feed them, and we accommodate it. We accommodate it in our lives. We normalize it. And we forget that the sinful nature is inherently incompatible with the Spirit of God. They simply cannot go along. And so Paul spells it out for the Galatians. He lists some of the ways in which the sinful nature was evident in their day. And frankly, it's quite evident in today's day as well. And he lists some of the ways that people have stumbled. And this isn't like an exhaustive list. You know, this isn't what you check mark. You know, I haven't done that, haven't done that, haven't done that, haven't done that. Oh, good. You know, these are just some of the things that the people struggled with that he brought forward. Sexual immorality. You know, sometimes we think that sexual immorality is a 21st century phenomenon. It's been going on a long time. Lust, idolatry. He talks about greed. We don't talk about that too much in church, do we? Dissensions, discord, factions, selfish ambition, fits of rage, jealousy, envy, drunkenness. Talks about all sorts of things. These are just some of the things that Paul is trying to tell the Galatians. These are incompatible. It doesn't fit. And when we try to walk with one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the world, these are the sorts of things that will come out. They might not come out in public right away, but they will come out. Even in the lives of those of us in the church. Remember, this was written to the church. Look at that list. Look at the things he's talking about to the church. They were struggling. They were having a hard time. We would be kidding ourselves if we said that, oh, we got no problem with any of this. But there is an answer. There is hope. Oh, there is certainly hope. You see, Jesus didn't come and die for our sins so that we keep on losing the battle against the flesh, against the sinful nature. He died to forgive us from our sins. Yes, he did. Praise God. But he also came to purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We have walked around with this thing called the sinful nature for so long that we've come to accept it as normal. We may not even like it, but we figure, that's just the way it is. I'm just going to have to, limp my way to the finish line. My friends, there is nothing normal about the sinful nature. The story is told of a woman named Rose who had been blind for 50 years. Since she was born. And then she had an operation in a hospital in Ontario many years ago. And as the bandages were removed from her eyes, she wept when for the first time in her life, she was able to see the beautiful world of color and form through her own eyes. She could see for the first time, 50 years. That is a beautiful story, a miracle, but there's a sad part to that story as well. And the sad part is that the operation that was needed for her to have her sight restored had been available for 20 years. For 20 years, she struggled in darkness because she figured there was nothing that anybody could do. And I'm saying this as a brother in the Lord with you. We have become so accustomed to all the darkness of sin around us in this world that we forget that God has called us out of that darkness and into his wonderful light. We've come to accept sinful nature as normal. We've grown up with it for 20, 30, 40 years or more before we've come to faith in Christ. And we just think that that's just the way it is. But 1 Peter 2:9 reminds us, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, set apart, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. We are a people, a holy people, a chosen people. We are a people who have been called out of darkness. And so when we go back to Galatians chapter 5, we see there in verse 16, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Paul wrote to the Romans, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So you see, we have before us two options. We can live according to the flesh, or we can live according to the Spirit. The sinful nature, the flesh, will not bend to our will, but it will break through the power of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. This is the word of the Lord that came to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. When we look at people throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament, Saul and David, the prophets, in the New Testament, the believers, the early church, the martyrs, they were all empowered not by their willpower, but by the Holy Spirit. And so what we need is not more self-control in the sense that I can do it by myself, because our self will never do it. What we need is more Holy Spirit control, to seek, to pursue, to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's when we will see the fruit. Paul lists the fruit of the Holy Spirit there. You see it in verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yes, we have self-control. We have a part in this too. But it's under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. What we need is Holy Spirit control. Put it another way, self-control doesn't fill us with the Spirit. The Spirit develops within us self-control. And so the question then really becomes, well, Norm, how do we do this? How do we get there? This sounds good. How do we get this Holy Spirit? And really, we're not going to receive the work and the power of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit until we've abandoned ourselves to God. Again, remember, flesh and spirit cannot coexist. If we are living according to the flesh, we're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They cannot coexist. We need to put to death the misdeeds of the flesh. Give ourselves, abandon ourselves, not 90%, which we think is good, but 100% over to God. That's the only way we will have ultimate victory. The story is told of a man who went on a trip to Haiti. And in Haiti, he heard a pastor give an illustration as a modern-day parable. And the parable or illustration that the pastor in Haiti gave, he talked about a man who wanted to sell his house for $2,000. Now, you might be thinking, well, I'd love to buy a house for $2,000. But this was in Haiti. And another man wanted very badly to buy that house, but he was poor. He couldn't afford the full price. And after much bargaining, the owner agreed to sell the house for half the original price with just one stipulation. He would retain ownership of one small nail protruding over the door. Well, years later, the original owner needed to buy that house back, but the new owner was unwilling to sell it. So the original owner went out and he found the body of a dead dog and he hung it on the single nail that he owned in that house. The new owner complained but couldn't do anything because the original person had owned that nail and he could hang on it what he wanted. Soon the place became unlivable and the family was forced to sell the house back to the original owner. And the Haitian pastor's conclusion was, if we leave the devil with even one small peg in our life, he will return to hang his rotting garbage on it, making it unfit for Christ's habitation. And to apply that to the message I'm trying to bring this morning is to say that if we want to experience the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit to give us victory over the things in this world that would drag us down, we need to give God every part of our lives. Living by the Spirit is not a matter of following a list of do's and don'ts and making a checklist. Because in the end, that will never work. We will fail. Living by the Spirit is a matter of turning over every part of our heart and life to the Master. Or as Paul likes to put it in the New Testament, we need to die to ourselves. When we die to ourselves, that's when we can truly begin to live and to live in victory. God has a much better way for us than what we often settle for. It's not easy. It doesn't mean that temptations won't come. It doesn't mean that we'll never stumble along the way. But the power of the flesh can indeed be broken through the presence and the power, not of my will, but of the Holy Spirit, as I yield every part of my life to Him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to come to You this morning. And Father God, I know that there are many times that we've struggled. And we have, in a sense, dragged our feet, Lord. We wanted to walk in the Spirit. We do. We do. And yet, we don't want to really fully abandon the works of the flesh either. And Father, that just drags us down. And we know it. We've been there. And I pray this morning, Lord God, that You would help us. Lord, help us to identify, Lord, may Your Spirit identify within us the areas of our life that we are withholding from You. Maybe there's that one nail that we haven't given to You. And Lord God, I pray that You would help us today to turn that over to You and allow and invite Your Spirit to come to fill us, to lead us, to change us, to give us victory. And Lord, we just pray that You would break that power of sin in our lives, not by our might or strength, but by Your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.